And I would like to welcome David Diane to the show. David has been writing about the economy and the election. David's contributing writer to Salon.com and a weekly columnist at the Fiscal Times. Hey, David, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So as we always do on Friday's Your Call Media Roundtable, we give praise to reporters who did a good job this week. So, David, let's start off with you. Where did you see good coverage this week?
Well, obviously the election was the paramount topic on people's minds, and I think that Harold Meyerson in the American Prospect really nailed what I was thinking about the election, in that the Democrats' failure to address coherently the problems that people are seeing in their economic lives really signaled the disaster that befell them, and that a new economic agenda rooted in speaking to this anxiety that people have with stagnant wages and soaring inequality and economic insecurity is really the antidote for Democrats to return to some measure of prominence. Mm.
Well, and you have an interesting piece today about Obama's advisors arguing that, basically arguing against Obama's policy, Christina Romer, who's left. And we'll talk about that later in the show. But I definitely want to talk about election coverage, because polls show that the number one issue for voters in this election is the economy. But, you know, headlines say that the economy's growing. We've got lower unemployment. So we'll definitely dig below the headlines. So kudos to Harold Meyerson. Thank you for that, David. And David Diane is a contributing writer to Salon. What about you, Brad? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, I'm gonna drop in two items here because they come from sort of different sources. One is Greg Palast's report over at Al Jazeera about the return of Jim Crow, focusing in his case on millions of minority voters that are threatened by this new scheme that were threatened this past Tuesday by this new scheme put together by Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach, this giant database that compares voter registrations in about 20 different GOP-controlled states to make sure that there aren't duplicate registrations. Problem is, the database matching system is incredibly flawed. It targets minorities, millions of minorities, many of whom may have been knocked off the rolls before Tuesday's elections, may have been challenged on Election Day because of this database, and may be knocked off the rolls in the future. That's one, and that's over at Al Jazeera.
Brad, just quickly, I've never heard of this interstate cross-check program. Where did this come from?
Well, it's by design that you haven't heard of it. It was developed by Chris Kobach, the Secretary of State of Kansas, who ran almost solely on the premise of stopping voter fraud. He's one of these GOP voter fraud fraudsters who likes to pretend that dead people are voting, non-citizens are voting, people are double voting in state after state. And so he's, you know, convinced his right-wing compatriots that this is going on. And he created this database quietly to cross-check, as it's called, to cross-check registrations between states. In some regard, it makes sense. You know, to do that. The problem is most of the people who are registered in several states at once are registered that way because they've moved. You know, they're not trying to vote twice. They've moved, and it takes time for them to be removed from the previous state that they were in. The problem is the scheme that they use to determine who is a double voter is completely flawed. They match people who don't even have the same middle name, for example. Mm. They tend to match people who have ethnic-sounding last names. So that's where it came from, and it's not transparent at all. It's, you know, sort of kept very secret between the Republican states.
Yeah, and this Al Jazeera piece found that black last names are overrepresented by 45%, Asian last names 31%, Hispanic 24%.
Correct. And I want to, if I can, toss out one other very quick piece of good work, because it's by a blogger, and it's a blogger who goes by the name of Potato Head. Mm. So I think I need to report that Potato Head over at Daily Kos has done a tremendous job, in an article called About Touchscreen Voting that explains exactly why touchscreen voting can never work, is antithetical to democracy, is 100% unverifiable, because it simply doesn't reflect the intent of the voter. It's an electronic interpretation of the intent of the voter that may or may not be correct. We can never know, as opposed to a hand-marked paper ballot. And he also extends his really smart explanation of this to why it is that internet voting can never work, and why it is that having open source on computer tabulators and voting systems also fails for the same reason. So really smart work, and I, you know, blogger or not, named Potato Head or not, I need to cite those folks who are doing that kind of smart work. I wish there was more doing it in the mainstream corporate media.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely talk with you later in the show about electronic voting machines, which really got hardly any attention this time around. That is Brad Friedman, who runs the Brad blog. And what about you, Alfredo Corchado? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, I'm going to go with Brad and also cite two examples. The websites in Mexico, web news sites in Mexico City, the one is called Animal Político, Political Animal, and the other one is Sin Embargo, which is roughly translated into However. And these two websites have done an incredible job over the last few weeks in keeping the pressure up on the Mexican government, asking questions and trying to investigate the disappearance of these students that we'll talk about later, the students in Guerrero. But I think it's worthy to note that in Mexico, anytime you try to investigate stories or anytime you do investigative journalism, it could lead to death threats. It could lead to, I mean, you're basically playing with your life. Mm. Mexico remains one of the most dangerous countries to practice journalism. Yet these two websites have really continue to keep the pressure on both the government in Guerrero and the federal government. And that, I think that's something worthy to recognize, especially away from Mexico. But I think the more attention you bring in the United States, these journalists need a lot of support from outside of Mexico. And the second one that I really enjoy watching this week, I'm on the border, U.S.-Mexico, so I've been also exposed to a lot of the elections this week. And there was a web story by photojournalist Marco Ricci in the New York Times. It's a short documentary. It's about an 8-minute documentary profiling a Democratic candidate in Texas, Mike Minter, who's underfunded Democrats. But it's really kind of compelling look into the uphill battle for a Democrat trying to run in a very conservative district. And it's witty, it's funny, it's sad. But I think you walk away understanding just how difficult it'll be for Democrats to someday become a red state.
Hmm.
Or a blue state, I'm sorry.
A blue state. Well, thank you for that. That's Alfredo Corchado covering Mexico for the Dallas Morning News. He's their bureau chief and author of Midnight in Mexico. And we will put all of these links on our website, yourcallradio.org.